Welcome to How Can We Help, the advice podcast for people who want advice but don't want to pay for it or get it even for free.
And then they listen to this podcast.
From a professional.
Yeah, and then they find out that they get what they pay for once they listen to us.
Which is nothing. So This is the podcast where you get, well, I would say considering the wealth of free advice podcasts out there, and we're learning about more and more each time we tell someone about this premise.
Uh-huh.
Considering the vast wealth of free advice at your fingertips, this is the worst possible place to come.
Yes.
To make this work for you from an advice perspective, we should be paying you. You should be making money to take this on as advice.
Yeah, like almost as like a lab kind of thing, or like a like a test group, focus group.
Yeah, that's right. This should be like when you go into a like a study.
Yeah, but it's okay to go to the worst possible place for things. I find myself, patroning the worst possible places I can go for different things, food, groceries. Often I find myself
at establishments. Food, groceries,
or like
produce.
Fast food. I mean like fast food, restaurants, groceries. And I'll be in a place and I'll look around and I say, damn, I've really picked the worst possible place here. But I keep going back.
You do? For groceries?
Well,
even?
Yeah, like because Loblaws, first of all, is like my closest grocery store.
What
it's
did you
a
say?
Great
Loblaws.
Oh, Loblaws.
Loblaws.
Loblaws, sure.
And it's so expensive. And I could just like, drag my ass a little further to Food Basics or No Frills.
Yeah.
But I gotta have those Frills.
It's a better grocery store.
Oh, I love Frills when I'm shopping.
Get me in the middle of those
and
Frills.
For anyone who's not from Toronto, we have a chain of cheaper grocery stores called No Frills. But here's the thing. Every time you go in there, you take one quick scan. Mm-hmm. You're spotting Frills.
There's Frills. There's
like
Frills
what?
To be found.
Like what?
Oh, hand sanitizer stations. Produce not all over the floor. There's nice handy bins. A picture of the owner of that particular branch smiling down on you.
True. And they always like showcase, boast really about the owner of that franchise. It's always like Joe's or Joe's No Frills. Yeah. Well, I think that's a frill.
That's a frill. To know the name?
Yep. The cost of writing his name on that wall.
Are they all Joe's No Frills?
Whoever owns them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Have you never been into a No Frills?
I've never.
La-di-da.
I've been in them. I didn't know that.
Wow, look at, we got a Mr. Fiesta
after.
Farms over here.
You know what? I live right beside Fiesta Farms. I've never. Oh, no, that's not true.
That's a great
spot. I've been in once and I liked it.
Oh, Fiesta Farms is great. You
they make
you
the
go
best
in there and they just soak you. Mm-hmm. They suck you dry. That you pay for the groceries and then they're like, that's not enough. And you say, what do you mean? And then they pick you up by the ankles and they shake out all the change from your pockets.
Change?
The only way you can get out of there is if you prove that you just have little moths flying out from your pockets when you outturn them. Well, we have not introduced ourselves
God, we're
yet. So,
rude. So
I will say my name is Mark and with me as always is the illustrious, the effervescent Jackie Pierce.
Hello. Thank you so much. I feel better now.
We are, as we indicated, not licensed.
Not licensed.
In fact, Jackie's never been to therapy.
Not even a shred.
Not even a shred of therapy.
Not even a moment's worth.
Not even the therapy that someone throws in the bin out back because it's expired. Jackie hasn't even...
dumpster dove for therapy.
She won't accept my Brené Brown books as gifts.
I haven't. And I don't know if our guest has frequented any therapy. I'm not sure, but he's wonderful. He's talented. He's our wonderful friend who's the very talented. The reason I'm not operating
talented.
On all cylinders today is because I was out with him last night. Yeah. It's Chris Wilson.
Hi, everybody. Yeah. I wasn't sure if I was allowed to talk before.
Oh, you're always allowed.
You were, but I didn't tell you because I wanted to test your confidence.
I see.
That was the first
and
test.
And I showed
of the episode.
I don't have much.
Yeah, you showed a cowardly side.
Yes.
Yeah,
but I don't
very
none.
Shy on the mic.
You don't have none, though. You did some chuckles.
I did some chuckles. You'll have to edit them out.
I like that because I listened to your rap album recently. And because you know how some people are like, turn the beat up in my headphones, like that kind of, like the lines they say when the beat's going, but they haven't started rapping yet.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is when you say shy on the mic.
Don't make me rap too long.
Yeah. I'll start soon, I promise.
Fill the space by taking a sip.
Turn the bass down.
That's probably gonna be annoying too, the ice there.
It's a little ASMR.
Jackie made me a mimosa.
I love when someone drinks with me.
Well, we were talking, I don't like calling it hungover. I like calling it that I feel a little dull.
Mm-hmm, that's like his new word.
I don't have a shine to me.
Oh, what shine?
I'm not shining today.
It's just code for being hungover in denial.
I'm slow.
So you lack shine when you get hungover, because for me, this is my famous hangover anecdote.
Okay.
And it's not really an anecdote. It's just like a little bit of background on me. Mm-hmm. Hangovers I love. Historically, before I got sober, mm-hmm. I loved being hungover, mm-hmm. because I would feel like my brain, the wheels would slow down, and then I could actually just chill.
Wow.
I do find that, yeah, I catch up on all the TV. I have a nice excuse to sit on the couch. Yeah, I slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm more in the moment. I'm a lot more fun to hang out with.
When you're hungover?
Yeah.
Really?
This is wild to me.
Yeah. This is before I started taking like anxiety medication.
Oh, okay. So being hungover was your medication.
Yeah. It was the only thing that stopped like the... When I say the wheel spinning, I don't mean like me coming up with beautiful mind theories. Right. It was not productive wheels. It was like neurotic, terrified, grinding wheels. And being hungover would... So that's why Rebecca Payne, when she found out, she was like, I think you have ADHD. And she sent me in to get... to talk to the doc about it. But then he was like, I don't think it's that, but it might be anxiety. And I said, I don't think it's that. And then 2 years later, I called him back up and I was like, I think you might have been right.
I love that you went away and for 2 years you're just like... Oh, actually.
So, turns out you are the doctor.
I would love to see like a real kind of like time lapse of your entire 2 years of just you pulling at your hair.
Yeah. Flowers growing, wilting, wilting, a fox decomposing.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring up the fox. Don't talk to me about that fox. That upsets me so much. Every time I see that fox, I'm like so...
Which fox?
So every time there's like a time lapse that's like symbolic of...
Oh,
years,
I know,
and
the
years
fox.
And years
like,
and years.
Yeah.
Like the death and rebirth.
The
and
decaying,
everything.
Yeah. It goes... Oh.
Yeah. If I saw that in the woods, if I came upon a dead fox in the woods, I would never recover.
Yeah. Especially if you were doing that at 50 times speed.
Yeah.
And first of all, if you ever find yourself in the woods at 50 times speed, get out of the woods.
Get out of there.
You're going to see nature rot.
Yeah. You don't want to see
quickly.
Anything. Yeah.
I like this because you said, you're reminding me of my favorite mug of yours, which is do not talk to me about the decaying fox until I've had my coffee. And we are recording this early, so I get it. Jackie, how do you feel about a hangover?
They give me anxiety. I'm so, like, in my day-to-day life, I have typical anxieties that anyone else would have, but I would never say that I suffer from a full anxiety. What, are you thinking I'm bullshitter?
Yes.
Okay, but, like, it's not debilitating because I'm functional.
Right. No, it's true.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I need meds.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm envious of your amount of energy in the day, but it is funny how far your mood swings sometimes when you get quite upset with somebody in your way, actually.
You're right. I do. I am a bubbling pot just waiting. I'm a bubbling pot that's dying for a wooden spoon to be put over the top of it so it doesn't boil over. You know that old trick?
No.
I've just learned something too.
Okay, so if you're boiling pasta, and you know when it gets getting there, I know. I can see that Stefan knows exactly what I'm talking about. Me and Stefan are always vibing. So it's like the pasta is about to boil over and the foam is coming up if you haven't stirred it.
Okay.
So you put a wooden spoon over top of it, rest the wooden spoon over the surface of the open pot, and it can't bubble over.
Why is that?
That doesn't make sense.
It's something about surface tension.
It hates the wood.
But anyways, that's me. I'm that pot. And my wooden spoon is perched very precariously over. You're right. I'm fucking nuts. You're correct. I am nuts. I'm not well. But a hangover gives me, it shatters. Okay, I'm pretty confident. I'm decently confident in my day-to-day, in my abilities, in my intelligence, in my relationships, in my career, in my skills, whatever. I'm decently confident. Hangover? Gone. My confidence is shattered. I'm paranoid. I actually have paranoid delusions that everyone hates me and everyone's mad at me.
Yeah, I mean, I do that as well because we had that thing too where
we did.
You film a video of yourself with your friends and you say it in the video, it's a little message for yourself
at
in the
party.
Morning.
You film a video at the party.
And everybody's like, no one's mad at us. Everything's fine.
Yeah,
we're having a good time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you send that around to your friends. We all have a problem, but...
Yeah. Or you don't say a room full of comedians who have chosen a career path that... deals with neediness on a moment-to-moment basis.
Moment-to-moment need for validation. So that's my hangover. I hate it. Really paranoid.
This
and then if you get drugs
handy,
in
though.
The mix, it's psychotic.
Drugs?
It's a paranoia. It's a beyond that level of paranoia, which is why I don't ever do drugs.
Yeah. I've never done them and never will.
But can I just talk about my
your nose is growing, Jackie. And every time it grows, I see more white dust on the nostrils.
I seriously don't, because I know my mom listens to every podcast I do, and she's going to think I'm such a fucking skid row. Like, I'm not doing drugs.
Okay. And Mrs. Pirico?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's a said no one ever from old Jackie.
But can I tell you about my bubbling over today?
Yeah.
I was so angry at this twice today, and it has to do with children. So I was in a busy parking lot. Actually, I was in a grocery store, and there's this kid, 4 years old, maybe 5 years old, very active, running around, doing his thing, sporty, curious, everything, which is great. I love kids like that. But then, but his mom and dad weren't really looking at him. Fine. It doesn't matter. We're in the grocery store. But then I'm following them in the parking lot. They're going to the car. I'm going to mine. And this kid is being allowed to run, like, so far in front of them. And the mom's behind him with her hands in her pockets. Like, parking lots are so dangerous. People aren't looking in parking lots. You're going to let this kid run so far. And not only are you letting him do that, you have stymied your fucking reflexes with your hands in your pockets to catch him or grab him if you need to. That is so against evolution, Darwinian evolution. This person needs to be fucking schooled. Like, And I sometimes think to myself, I don't think I can be a mother because I don't think I'm equipped. I have no experience with kids. I don't have any knowledge. Well, I'm a fucking leap and bound ahead of this fucking idiot. Sometimes, like, if I was a CPS off duty, I'd be like, I'm calling this in. Yeah.
Hands out of the pockets, ma'am.
It's so dangerous.
You got to be able to grab your kid. Yeah.
You have to. People in parking lots
are
nuts.
Hands at 9 and 3 at all times when you're parenting. You know that when you get your license, but they don't. A lot of people let that slip.
Yeah. 9 and 3. I thought it was 10 and 2.
That's the change in driving school.
Is it really?
What is 9 and 3 now?
Oh, on your hands on the wheel? What do you do? I thought it was 10
no,
and 2.
No, that's silly.
That's like cartoon driving.
It's 9 and 3 now.
That's nine great. And three? Where are you from? I don't know. Candyland?
Yeah,
it's 9 and 3, and you have to know how to drive through a cave wall when it's briefly a tunnel due to someone slapping a bit of rubber on it. Do you think bus drivers, when they're like talking about how to drive a bus, they're like 7 and 5, fellas.
7 and 5, yeah.
7 and 5, fellas. 8 and 4.
And they're like, no, it's now it's 8 and 4. You didn't hear it's 8 and 4.
Oh, they made it 8 and 4, fellas.
Look, do you think I was too mad at that mom? No. I just think it's so dumb. And then I saw this area that I go to all the time. There's always people jaywalking in between two lights that are quite close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With their kids, jaywalking with their kids. That is the dumbest thing to show your kid that's cool to do.
Yeah.
I don't jaywalk because I don't like it. But when I'm waiting at a light, even if I know I could go before it changes, like to walk, you know, even though I can see there's no cars. But it's still the red hand. If there's a family with me with kids, I never do it.
You don't want to set the bad example.
Exactly. I never want to like demonstrate that to a kid who doesn't have the street smarts that I do.
Yeah.
And these are the moments where I think, yes, you know what I do? Maybe I could benefit from an outlet to, you know, blow off some steam with a professional.
It sounds like you might just need a rage room. Classic little room to smash some stuff.
I'm not fit enough for that.
Fit enough for a rage room. Rage room is fit. Everyone is fit.
No,
enough
I
for
think
a rage
I would
room.
The next day be so sore.
Well, I mean, I started doing the rage room about boxing, and that is the best because then you're getting fit too.
Oh, but
did you start doing boxing?
Like in Halifax, I haven't done it in a while now.
That's
so
great.
I haven't been there, but it's awesome to like rage.
Yeah.
Find some extra like energy for the workout.
Yeah,
by just
thinking
rage.
About all your enemies.
Do you channel it? Do you channel stuff?
Yeah, it's so easy. But rage is right here. You just go in and you just you just let it out.
But with a sparring with a person, you're on the bag.
Well, that's the scarier part. No, on a big heavy bag. Okay. I don't like. Sometimes they pair you up with a guy. And he's got the hand pads, and you're punching.
Very romantic image.
And he's an old guy. For sure he's an old guy.
Or somebody who's taking the class with you and you're both suck.
Don't let up on me. Don't let up on me. Do you want? You got what it takes.
No, this is just for exercise.
You got what it takes.
It's the skipping rope is not for me.
Oh, no, you don't like that.
You have to do all of that shit, too.
Oh, you do have to?
All the cliche stuff.
That's
so good for you.
Taping up your hands and skipping rope.
And I'll never figure out how to tape my hands either. It's...
Well, you know what you got to do? You got to go. You got to go start fighting in a meat locker. You got to go start pounding some big slabs of meat, and then meeting your, and then running into your brother-in-law there, who recently bought a wife robot.
What the hell is that movie?
Oh, have you not seen the Rocky movies?
No, I haven't.
Have you seen another?
I've
none
never
of them?
Seen a single.
That's
Rocky
your Italian
movie.
Heritage.
Only, yeah.
Oh my God.
Not the part of the heritage Creed. I'm proud of.
Yeah.
Which part are you proud of?
I don't know. Like more like the food and the history, not the like. The fucking tough guy thing.
Oh my God. Rocky, if you haven't seen Rocky, you don't know what the fuck you're talking
also,
about.
Also, I'm not that proud of the history either.
Well, no, I've heard you say that you love Italian history from like 1930 to 1945. You're like, that's when it was good. Okay, are you guys ready to give some advice?
Yes.
I have two friends who like each other. One is married, one is single. The married is 38, female, no kids, and considering divorce independent of the attraction to my other friend,
oh my God,
who is 39, male, also no kids. The two of them had dated in high school and a hookup in their late 20s. My question is, should I try to push the divorce to get them together, or should I mind my own fucking business?
Oh my God, this is a newer one that's come in?
Newer one, and we thank you for submitting your questions. You can submit your own questions for advice to Jackie's Instagram page, at Jackie Pirico.
Who sent it? What's
the
name?
We don't know, it's
anonymous. Oh yeah, I mean,
that would really help if we knew the names of these people and I could really weigh in.
And if they did include the names of the people they're speaking about, that would also really help us.
Yeah, this is not anonymous. So people keep treating it like it is, it's not. This is supposed to be the only
You're
podcast.
You're supposed to divulge name, birth date, postal code.
This is the only pro-doxing advice podcast. And if you don't do it for us, we will have to do it ourselves.
This is incredible. Can I just clarify? So the female is 38, no kids.
Correct.
And the male, and married. Married, mm-hmm. no kids, 38.
Correct.
Male is 39.
Also no kids.
No kids, not married.
Not married.
Wow, this is so... that's life, isn't it? Life is messy.
Hmm.
And then, so the question is, should I push this divorce? It's a morality thing. Should I be pushing this divorce? That's really, you know what?
I mean, you just,
My advice would be support your friend, but let her do the talking. Because you don't want to say, you know what? No, it'd be so hot right now if you left this sandbag dud husband of yours and hooked up with the guy. It sounds like the guy that got away. But then what if that doesn't work out? I would want to, you know, circumvent any future blame or resentment. I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Yeah.
But also, I want all the details. And I want her to tell me everything that's going on. But then if she was, I would play it safe. I would play it safe and just let her tell you all the salacious details. Think about it. Ruminate on it. Think about how juicy it is. Kind of, you know, chew on it mentally while you're sat at home alone. Live vicariously through the kind of high-octane drama.
Yeah.
But don't give too much advice because you don't know what's going to happen down the road.
Yeah, and this is definitely the credo and philosophy of this advice podcast. Don't give too much advice. We're just already getting into hot water.
But, okay, let's say this was the woman asking this, should I, like the woman herself who's in this conundrum, not the friend. This
should
is a friend
I get
of a friend.
Divorce?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd say yes.
Oh, and she's already considering the divorce, plus there's this attraction. But I'm wondering, you know, was like, how I would love to know how far long ago that the, you know, leanings towards divorce existed before she's like kind of reunited with this. Sounding like a fucking hot, cool guy.
We don't get to know, Jackie. We have to work with the information.
And we are just assuming he's hot and cool.
I'm assuming he's hot and cool compared to her husband.
39 male?
39, that's hot.
Pretty hot and cool.
Oh, I can't wait. That's in 2 years. That'll be me.
Are you 37, man?
I'm 37.
Oh, you're almost there. Hot and cool.
I'm
40. That's like a Vapo Rub.
Last year I was at my hottest and
coolest. Oh, damn. I was going to
say that.
This year, I feel the difference. I'm sort of falling apart.
More dull, lost your shine.
You know? I have lost my shine a bit. No.
You know what a lot of people do? My advice would be just, a lot of people just have an affair. Just test it out to see how it works and feels.
Yeah.
And then that would tell you a lot. I'd say have the affair, keep it nice and hushed and secret, and just... So go from there.
And here's how you got to do the affair, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't let it be one of those explosive affairs where the naughtiness and the danger of it makes the sex so hot and you're constantly saying, we shouldn't be doing this. You got to treat it like a test relationship.
Yes, yes. Like exactly.
So have sex maybe once every couple weeks, right out of the gate. Make sure it's fine.
Yeah,
you know, move in together exactly. For sure. This is not an affair. Don't use the word affair.
No, but you can't move
call
in,
it a beta relationship.
Have a apartment, like a, what is it called? Like a hideout, one of those, like an affair apartment together, and have it just kind of be not very good and like kind of like there's laundry around.
Yeah, expensive.
Bring some of your own laundry and like have it there.
Yeah, bring each of you bring art and have a dispute over whose taste is going to dominate the space.
Yes.
Yes.
You got to
get a dog.
Get a dog. Or argue about whether to.
Yeah.
And try to make the argument like a 4 years down the road argument.
Like, and then if you, accidental baby in this situation, maybe two could happen, and that would just sort of make it would everything would line up.
This is basically we're proposing a Nathan Fielder-esque.
Hey, don't tell me this. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, I guess I won't spoil the whole premise of the show.
I don't even know the premise.
Well, now
you don't even know the premise?
I don't. I'm saving it. I'm saving it. I want to go in completely pure.
It's pretty easy, Nathan. I'm and a bunch of guests stay at a White Lotus hotel. Someone dies in the cold open, and Nathan has to figure it out in his bumbling... borderline spectrum-y way. We love him and we know him.
So that's Mark, you make an amazing point here because like they have hooked up or they dated in high school.
Yeah, you called him the one who got away, but they're kind of the one who got away twice. And at that point, you got to start wondering,
like, why didn't
really
it work out?
Why do you keep letting him get away?
Exactly. Because you know what? High school relationships, that's easy to not work out because you have to go your separate ways and you become different people after high school, et cetera, et cetera. But then I want to know about that hookup in their 20s.
Yeah.
Maybe he was in a relationship then. We don't know. I'm extrapolating too much. Yeah. But you're right. There's a if you really supposed to be together, you might have made it work already. And then so knowing that, is that worth getting trashing your marriage? But also, life is so fucking short. If you're if you are not into your marriage and you're like in your late 30s, like maybe just rip off the Band-Aid and enjoy your 40s. It's not very scary. I don't think it's very scary to be single.
Yeah. If there's one thing that we know as a culture is true, is that the older a woman gets, the easier it is for her to find relationships.
I've heard that.
And single men.
Yeah.
I think that women who are not in relationships are happier. I know I've seen a lot of this online where like women who are like are divorced or even if they're widowed and then they meet a new man, they say, we can be together. I'll be with you forever. But we ain't living together. Oh. I'm keeping my own house. You can come over. Fuck off. Because guys are so annoying. Guys are so...
Okay,
sorry.
Interesting.
I need my wooden spoon.
I don't know if you realize this, but there's a few guys in the room right now.
Yeah, there's
now.
Like mostly
you think
guys.
I care? You think I care?
So here's my feeling. Yes, and I was just joking about... I wasn't joking that women have a hard time finding relationships the older they get. Obviously, that is true. But I also agree that if she's already feeling like this marriage is not for her.
Yeah.
And if that's not like a temporary, like it's been a couple months feeling, but if it's been like a year
like ongoing,
with that, if that's an ongoing feeling, obviously get out the marriage.
Get out of that, girl. Because you know what? There's going to be a lot to explore. Like, you know, you could be in that kind of exciting kind of whorish era of like rebounding, even if it doesn't work out with this guy that you already knew.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that would be a fun and exciting.
You know what I hope for her? I hope she finally gets out of this marriage and she has a nice rebound fling with this guy and then she meets another guy.
Yeah,
and,
different
and
guy.
And then they have a failed marriage.
And then the cycle
she always,
continues.
She always thinks about the one who got away and away and away.
Do you guys ever have delusions about the one that got away?
Oh my God. Well, I think about my exes all the time.
Okay.
Constantly.
Yeah. I think about them and I when I think about them, I look them up and I fall and then I call them and I hear a man's voice and I hang up very quickly, very quickly.
But you get a couple breaths in on the phone before you hang up, right?
I just go,
okay, perfect.
So I went to a play that, you know, lots of my friends are in, but my ex-girlfriend was in this play.
Oh, I know who you're talking
and
about.
And we went to an after party. It was Meghan Markle.
Meghan.
But I could feel myself, like, you know, knowing where she was at all times in the room.
Interesting.
And, like, laughing harder at stuff.
that she was saying?
No, we weren't even talking. She'd be over there.
Oh,
but
you
I'd
want
be
her
like,
to
I'm
see
having
you.
Such a good time.
You're performing a little bit.
And it, like, I don't know why. She's in, like, engaged now. It's,
well,
like,
you're
totally
a consummate
fine.
Performer. That's what I've always said about you. You're always on.
Always
Whether
on.
It's because the camera's rolling or because you want to inspire just a little bit of envy in a
I don't know what
lover.
I was doing. Yeah.
My guy is so far away. He was a end of high school sweetheart. And you know when you're at that age, and then we went to like started university kind of together in Montreal, but then like you're at that age where it's like can't work. Like how can things work? I don't understand how people can be with the same person from their like early 20s to adulthood because there's so much shit that happens. And then and he went so far, but we were so good. We were like would travel and bus together, sing together, and music and. But then the breakup was like so upsetting for both of us that he moved to China, other side of the world.
Oh my God.
So that like not we did not share a wall. Right. I would have to burrow in through the earth out the other side of the earth.
Yeah, if you shared a wall, that would be a one great
That'd be a
wall.
Big
wall. You can see that wall from space. We'll take a break. And this episode, as always, is brought to you by Manscaped. Just kidding. I wish. How do we get a sponsor?
I think you could get a Manscaped sponsor. They seem to give those away.
Yeah.
What is it, a clipper?
Yeah, like a...
Oh my God, did I tell you about this recently? Because you know manscaping, right, when you trim up your pubes?
Yeah.
Did I tell you about this, that I saw a company that does that, but for the land? It's a company that does... I guess they like trim up the garden's pubes or something. But yeah, it's a land manscaper. I can't remember what it was called. Anyway, we are back. And we are going to give some more advice
yes,
here.
Yes, yes. Mm. But yes, I don't know if we really concluded for that person. But yeah, I think we did.
Get out.
Let's get out no matter
what. Get
out. We are saying that to the friend. And it sounds like now, I mean, Jackie, you've said, do not agitate
for
the divorce.
We're advising the wrong person. Yeah.
You know what I say? Agitate for the divorce, but not for that reason.
That's right.
I mean,
yeah,
but
gently
advocate
say
for the
if you're even having these feelings at all.
Yep.
For someone else, that's a good indicator that you shouldn't be together. But don't let that guy be the full crux of it. Don't let that guy be the linchpin or whatever.
If you are truly convinced that this relationship between these two would work, expedite the process, flirt with the husband.
Yeah.
Why? You want her to get with the ex-husband?
Nope. Flirt with the current husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Flirt with him.
Yeah.
Sleep with him.
Okay.
Bring down the marriage from the inside.
Oh,
speed up the divorce.
That's like real martyr kind of stuff.
Shania Twain did that for real, right?
Wait,
their partners were cheating on each other, and then so they just got together.
That's hot.
The cheaters got together.
Yeah, that's kind of like
cheaters were cheating, and they were like, okay,
and then they were like,
we'll
get
together.
I remember because when she did that, she was pointing to her friend who was cheating with her husband, and then she was getting together with that friend's husband. She said, "Man, I feel like that woman living in that woman's house, sleeping with her husband. Man,
I
feel
like
that woman."
Do you know what that kind of is? Is a kind of deconstruct. You know, you can get a burrito bowl. It's like a deconstructed burrito. That's kind of like a deconstructed kind of orgy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bits and bites of an orgy.
Yeah.
The nuts and bolts of an orgy.
Yeah.
I could have that kind of an orgy. Like an orgy that's like takes place over a few days
right.
and only involves two people at a time at any given time.
Yeah, yeah. 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 That's a very manageable orgy.
Yeah.
No. Otherwise, an orgy would be very stressful.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Restigmatize orgies. Restigmatize sex clubs. Absolutely ban comedy performed at sex clubs for people pausing in the sex.
Don't worry, I won't do that. I already did a nudist colony. I won't do a sex club because I don't want to see my comedy colleagues. I don't want to see them in that environment.
This?
Yeah,
there
was a show before the pandemic at Oasis Aqua Sex Lounge.
Aqua Sex Lounge.
Yeah, I've never understood the aqua part. There.
I think there's like
hot tubs
and stuff.
With stuff.
Oh, now are you into it? Is that would that sell you?
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
What should you do when your mother-in-law buys Ziploc bags for your house every time she visits because you don't have any, because you don't use them, because you're not an environmental terrorist?
Oh my goodness.
Signed, and here's the signature, Drama Queen. Just kidding. I made that up. I'm trying to give some cool catty names to these people. But this person does not want Ziploc bags from their mother-in-law, and they keep getting them, and they're mad about it.
Right.
Okay.
Because they destroy the environment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Supposedly
destroy the environment. First of all, I just think it's very, if this were me with my mother-in-law, I am so lucky with such wonderful in-laws. I love them so much. I would be able to say, oh, you know what? I actually don't really use those. Just say, you don't have to say Get that environmental terror stuff out of my house, please. You can just say, oh, actually, you know what? I'm good for those. I still have the leftovers from last time, and I actually use something instead. I actually use Pyrex glass things instead. Whatever. Yeah. But I have more to say about this.
Okay, say it.
I love those big Ziploc freezer bags. Mm-hmm. I use them over and over and over again. I wash them out. I dry them.
Yeah.
Like once they become really like degraded, I will throw them out. But like I get so many uses out of one, and they're so handy. They're so handy for big blocks of cheese, like the classic Cracker Barrel. What are you going to do? What are you putting around that to stop that cheese from going hard? You put it in right, shove it into the Ziploc. It fits absolutely perfectly. It's so pleasing. It fits right into that. And then you roll that up. It's so pleasing. Like you can do so much with that. You can use them for packing your undies and stuff on trips.
Yeah.
There's lots of, yes, this person, I gotta say.
You can suck the air out of them, because I used to do this in high school with my weed.
Oh, don't, not another Whippets thing.
No, I swear, I promise, it's just air, it's not poison. You like zip them up almost all the way, and then you put your mouth into that little, the part that's open. And you get all the air, it vacuum seals it. Like, they're the best. They're the best. Mm. The little sandwich ones with, like, the one zipper, fuck those. But the big, heavy-duty zipper freezer ones with the double zip Ziploc brand, mwah. Start using them in an environmental way and let your mother-in-law have this. Come on. Moms don't get a lot. They want to be involved.
Yeah. Now, I understand where this writer is coming from, because I single use Ziploc bags.
Okay.
I use them for like one thing and then I throw them away. Or if I can, I throw them right at like right a seagull or something. Yeah. I trap a seagull in it.
What is your advice, Chris, for the Ziploc conundrum?
I'm with you. Like, this doesn't seem like that big of a problem.
But it's nice to have a little problem.
Yeah, it's like, say don't buy those. Or, just say don't buy those.
But some people
instead
have
of
really...
reaching out passive aggressively to a podcast, and then
stop it, Chris. We need these questions to survive.
To your mom.
Yeah, this goes for everyone writing questions. Just deal with your shit. Don't burden us with it.
No. But you've got to take into consideration that a lot of people have very strained, awkward, repressed, passive relationships with their in-laws that cannot say anything.
Yeah, their in-laws, not their normal parents, just their in-laws.
Did she say it was her in-law or her mom?
It's her mom's mother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
And this sounds like?
I think this is a place for a lie. I think this is a place for a lie, and here's the lie I would use. You keep the Ziploc bags that she gives you, you put them in the drawer, and anytime she wonders if you have a Ziploc bag, you got a Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
You've still got the ones from last time.
Well, they do have the ones from last time.
Oh, they're still pristine and clean? It's because you've been cleaning them.
Yeah.
So just, I don't know. I mean, this person clearly cares a lot about the environment.
Yes, a lot. Yes.
Like a lot.
Eco-terrorist a lot. Like, yeah. Like this is uh-huh. big, this is big for her.
Words
big for
thrown
them.
Around here. Yeah. Terrorist. Okay.
Yeah. It is big.
Yeah. So I would say just, yeah. You know, mothers, you know, old people, you got to toss them a bone.
Yeah, you know what? And it's another thing. It's one of those like product of their generation things where obviously it's not like this is a very hard idea to come around to, protecting the environment and being reusable and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like they in our parents' generation, they didn't fucking know about this, care about this at all. Think of all the shit that was being thrown in the garbage, single use. Yeah. Remember the things that were crackers? A school snack that was like a peeled off lid. There was like a stack of saltines and then like Cheese Whiz, and you spread it on with the red stick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember how much those red sticks would be around? I know I'm close to the ground and I'm always looking at the ground, but like those red sticks were everywhere when we were kids. Sandboxes, playgrounds, parking lots. So those red sticks were everywhere. Can you imagine having those now? Those would never be made now.
Well, never.
Let me say this to the idea that these few Ziploc bags are going to create an environmental crisis.
Right.
Take a trip to any American city. Mm-hmm. Go to New Orleans. Go to somewhere in Texas.
Yes.
Go anywhere that's not like New York or LA, but honestly, even New York and LA, you will be stunned by the lack of recycling options.
Right.
Well, you will be shocked by how many people in major airline airports are just throwing every aluminum, every piece of paper. Like, the world is fucked. And the things that's going to, like, every time I do that, I come back and I'm like, whoa, like the obsessing I do over tiny little nuances and recycling.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's not even a drop in the bucket. Nothing. It's a drop in the ocean.
Yes. Well, I've heard also like this been said, like this has been said, like plastic straws, the paper straws, just switching to paper straws is like the thoughts and prayers of environmentalism. It's like, right. does fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
And how else are we going to kill those fucking turtles?
One turtle died one time.
Yeah. One time. One time.
Imagine that was just
do
that one turtle.
Do we need turtles?
Yeah. Do we need that turtle? Mr. Straw? So curious?
Clumsy, over-curious.
Yeah. I've seen turtles use a straw well. My turtles, I train them well. They drink from the little cup that I give them. Straw.
A cup of water in the ocean.
That's right. The turtle gets exactly the amount of water I want. And they stay hydrated. And if your turtle is getting dehydrated during exercise, guess what? They should have drank the water before
you
exercise.
You know what? I can't condone this shitting on the sea turtles because they've got such a hard go of it as it is.
Oh, fuck
God,
a sea
turtle.
They
are
born into adversity.
But yeah, that's my big picture advice is like, what's going to change the world environmentally has nothing to do with your handful of Ziploc bags.
Yeah. No.
It's like, yeah. it's so far, it needs to be institutional. It needs to be at the
We're
highest
fucked
levels.
Anyway.
We are fucked unless big, 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 big things happen.
Do you guys remember when that scandal a few years ago where like all of this massive like barges of recycling had been dumped or floated ashore in like Malaysia or something, and it was like everyone was like, that's Canada, and like it showed all of it, like it had been irresponsibly or like illegally discarded by our government or by our infrastructure, and it floated ashore in Malaysia, and it was so embarrassing for our nation, and it was all like Lay's and like all these Canadian brands. You could see it in the picture.
Right,
I was like,
right.
it's so incriminating.
It's our ketchup chips. Yeah. And now it's time for our final segment, celebrity advice. Chris, you may or may not know this, but Jackie and I have a wide network of celebrities who entrust us with their personal affairs.
That's right.
Okay. Or at least with guiding their choices. So this this is a letter from one of our favorite celebrity friends who's going through a bit of a situation, it seems. Dear Jackie and Mark, I recently swam north and found this cool little beach town in New England. But I accidentally sort of ate a teen girl there and then some other people, like a kid and stuff. And now everyone hates me and is hunting me and talking shit about me behind my back. Should I just swim away or should I stand up for myself and go on a spree? Sincerely, Jaws Shark.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Okay, right away, I'd say walk away, babe. You got what you went there for. You did the damage. You're not gonna get over this. A spree certainly is the last thing that's gonna get you back in these people's good graces. This is problematic thinking, and there's so many other. You can go anywhere. You can start over anywhere you want. You're highly unrecognizable in other areas. Mm. Get out of there and like yesterday.
Mm. When you say that it got what it went for,
yeah.
What do you think that was?
Some bites of people.
Oh, just a quick snack. Mm.
Yeah, surely.
You left your mark. You like,
yeah.
Like clearly this shark wants to be talked about in some way.
Yeah.
Can I say that? Like it talks about like, oh, I don't want people to talk about me behind my back.
Right, right.
It's attacking some pretty high profile,
in the highest, busiest, highest traffic summer months.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't want to be noticed.
Oh, you went to a beach town where they're not used to having sharks and you ate a teen girl?
Yeah, and then you ate some more. Yeah,
and, now you're surprised people are talking about you?
Shit.
Like, come on. You like the attention a bit. You do like the attention.
Yeah, but it's age-old classic greedy guzzling. It's like you leave a bowl of candy out at Halloween unsupervised. A kid is going to take the whole thing. Don't be that kid. Take a little bit. Leave the rest. Leave the people for the other sharks.
So maybe swim back down south and tell some sharks that you found a pretty cool spot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that either. I'm a bit too competitive to say that.
Okay, I don't understand what advice you're giving.
Let them find it themselves. You don't have to go away. You don't have to be like an angel. You don't have to go out of your way.
Oh, I see.
But just, you know, don't like leave a place kind of like a bit better. What does it say?
Leave it better than you found it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, yeah, take only a couple bites of a teen. Leave only footprints.
Take nothing but bites.
Exactly.
Leave only
That's
pictures.
Just my advice. That's my advice.
Yeah. What do you think, Chris? Any advice for Jaws Shark?
For Jaws Shark, yeah, I guess I gotta say, like, what is my advice for Josh Sharp?
I'm asking.
Like, well, I mean, because he, what was the question?
So Josh Sharp,
he woke up feeling dull today.
I'm dull. I lost my shine.
I'll just put it this way. I feel like Josh Sharp feels that he or they bit off more than they can chew.
Okay.
No pun intended.
I don't know. I
feel like they ate a teen. Yeah. They went to a cool hunting ground.
Okay. Yeah.
Out of the norm, bit colder than usual, north. Ate a teen, ate a kid. Now they're all of a sudden surprised that the heat's on. Mm-hmm. And they're wondering whether to leave or stick around and go on a spree because they're kind of mad that the heat's on.
I say I'm going to take the other side and say spree.
Spree?
Go on that spree. I like to live by my motto, which Mark loves, is a bite more than you can chew.
Okay.
And then chew it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. If you're going to bite, bite off more than you can chew, then chew it.
That's really good.
So it's always like, you know,
let me just take on too much. Bite off more than you can chew? Then chew it.
That's I'm not lying here. You could tour on the strength of that alone. Like, I feel like you could
be a motivational speaker with just like that.
If you put that on a poster with a picture of you in a shirt and tie or like an open collared shirt, sort of sweaty a little, glistening, shiny, talking to a crowd, like people would come.
I could see it. Oh, bite off more than you can chew.
The then chew it guy this weekend.
Then chew it. What does that mean? It means take on more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Work on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on my act.
It means take a risk before you think you're ready and then get ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the only way to find out if you can do something is to do it.
It's jump kind in
the
of deep a different end. Leap and the net will appear.
It is that.
Yeah.
It is that.
But it's like kind of got more chew to it.
Oh, I love how much chew there is to it.
Oh, just take a big bite.
Do you think the demographic of people biting off more than they can chew is big enough to sustain a tour?
I would hope so, because I'm switching everything to this. This is my new thing.
I'm a
motivational speaker now.
Here's my slogan. Bite off more than you can chew and then try to chew it, but you really, it's way too much.
Eat what you
can. It's kind of choking you a little. So spit out a bit of it subtly. and then drink a lot of water and kind of try and soak it. Mm. See if you can sort of let it slide down. And then excuse yourself from the table.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then what's going on with this chewed up other stuff in the napkin?
You're either going to gag it down like a pelican or you're going to just spit it all up into the turlet, have a flush, and come on back right as rain.
Ew. Have you ever seen a pelican in action? It is so disturbing and disgusting.
Yeah.
And you see it going. It's like, oh my God, they would need your conference. Pelicans.
Well, they're more of like they're not even chewing it. They're like,
no.
Yeah. They're taking a big bite and just.
No teeth.
No bite,
to my
knowledge.
No, just
taking
a
big peck.
They just grab a whole fish in there and then they
know if they would peck.
I think they just
gargle it.
Have you ever seen a pelican do this? Sort of massage. Have you ever seen one
do this?
Yeah, and then a British nanny cruises in to Heimlich the pelican, and wouldn't you know it? She revealed herself.
So what you're basically saying is that the Jaws shark is pot committed, so you might as well pedal to the metal.
Absolutely. Okay. Just keep going.
But here's what I would say. That's a death wish. Mm. You're not going to win against the institution. If you bring that much heat on yourself, you're going to die.
Well, maybe that's, what's it called? What am I looking for here? Not martyr, but like, maybe that's how he wants to go out. Guns blazing.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to know some gossip about Jaws?
Sure.
Gossip. So, like the book, I don't know. Have you ever read the book that the movie's based on?
I didn't know.
Peter Benchley.
Fabulous. Yeah. So you know that what happens in the book that doesn't happen in the movie.
Stays in the book that doesn't happen in the movie. Yeah.
Is that Richard Dreyfuss' character is not only, you know, shaking things up in this town and kind of going head to head with the sheriff. He's fucking his wife.
Oh. Fucking the sheriff's wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's hot.
They left that out of the movie?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. The movie's very... It's a bromance.
I'm going to say that I haven't seen that movie.
You've never seen it?
No.
Sorry.
I've never seen Jaws.
No wonder you struggled to answer this question. You don't even realize that Jaws dies at the end. You thought Jaws got away with it.
How did you tell him that? That was the biggest spoiler alert I've ever seen.
I would assume Jaws
dies. Dies. What a spoiler. Oh, everyone listening at home, plug your ears. Jaws dies. You're not going to believe this, but the T-Rex... Actually, the T-Rex does survive Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it It's, you don't know that John's going to die.
You've seen it made fun of so many times that I feel like I've seen it. Do you know we're going to need a bigger boat. He dies by a harpoon into the side of the head.
No, don't tell him how he dies. Come on, let's let him have Dreyfuss something.
I guess I should.
If he dies, he dies. if he dies, then he dies.
That's good. That's a good Dreyfuss.
No, it's not.
He was a hot hipster in that movie.
Didn't he have those glasses?
That captain. God, don't get me started
captain,
on him.
The captain. I've seen. I can picture these guys.
Oh, you mean Quint or Shiner?
Yeah, Quint.
Quint. Yeah.
With the aviator gold frame glasses sort of style.
No, that's the sheriff.
That's the sheriff.
That's Roy Scheider. Scheider, looking hot as ever and twice
he's got
as
the cigarette and,
cool. Yeah. Right.
You mean the sheriff?
Yeah. Roy Scheider.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Quint is like the, what's that actor's name? I can't remember.
I don't know his name, but he's, I don't know, he's my type.
He's your type? That dusty.
Everyone's my type. Yeah, you know what? It's exhausting to me. Yeah.
But you know what? This famous scene, Chris, where they're having a town hall meeting. Like, oh, what do we do about the shark? What do we do? And then fingernails on the chalkboard.
Yeah, that's a classic.
I'll
catch
your shark.
Yeah.
But it won't cost you this much money. It'll cost way more.
I know that one.
Yeah.
We made fun of it on 22 Minutes Jaws parody.
Oh,
and because there was a shark in the harbor.
You must have been lost
Halifax
in that writer's room.
This was fresh in the news.
Yeah.
I played that guy, the guy.
Yeah.
Black shirt.
And I'm
throws
sure
the chum into the water.
And what was the song parody that you did it to? Was it you're so Jaws? You probably think this harbor
this
is
plan
for
is about
harbor.
You.
Yeah, that was
plan. You're so Jaws.
That was like the first sketch. I had to learn the Halifax accent for it.
Oh, can you do
There's a shark in the harbor.
Yeah, shark in the
shark
harbor.
Shark in the harbor.
Is that different from a Nova Scotian accent? Proper?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay,
no.
So a Nova Scotian accent.
Shark in the harbor.
Shark in the harbor. Well, then you can say garlic butter.
Garlic butter.
Garlic.
That's made me hungry.
Garlic.
What was my line? It was like, there's a shark in the harbor. This shark's going to eat us up more than a drunk guy at Pizza Corner.
Oh my God,
like
no,
that.
For real?
Something to that effect.
For real?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow, I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm going to murder you.
He's going to gobble us up.
He's
faster than a drunk guy at Pizza Corner.
He's going to eat us faster than the last Timbit at Timmy's on the off route on the on ramp. Well, Chris, we gave some good advice today.
We did.
I hope
I
hope the Jaws shark is happy with the advice we gave, which was a bit conflicting, so you can choose who you like, Jaws shark, but I think Jackie and I are basically saying head for the hills, count your blessings,
yeah.
Take your trophies, keep your memories, and Chris is saying dig in.
Just dig in.
And see how far you can take this mad spree. Yeah.
Like you know, how you dig into a lobster and it's slowly killing you,
just
that kind of spirit.
Eat the lobster.
Yeah.
Go even down swinging and be a legend.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's great advice. Thank you so much for helping us advise today, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
It's such a delight to have you.
Chris, where can people find you? You have a podcast of your own.
Yes, you could catch up on that podcast while we decide if we're going to do more or not.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But it's called This Time It's Different, and it's on the Sonar Network.
Ah,
and you can find me on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Really blowing up the
oh,
world.
Yeah,
and
your TikTok.
Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah, at Chris Wilson.
I'm Chris Wilson.
No apostrophe. And you can see Chris's hit series of TikTok sketches, Guy Who Doesn't Have a Good Time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We're going on Guy Who Can't Have a Good Time 33. There's 33 episodes.
Congrats.
Christ's
own age.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Cool.
As always, send us your questions. We love them. They're anonymous. Visit my social media at Jackie Pirico on Instagram. The link is in my bio. Please, we love your sweet, sweet questions. We're pervs for your questions.
Yes,
we've got a question king.
We have a Twitter now. It's at...
it is at How Can We Help Pod.
At Help... How Can We Help Pod, I believe. And we have an Instagram. This is a real podcast. And stop telling us that it reminds you of another comedian's advice podcast because we didn't know about that
before. We didn't know
about
it. And also, it doesn't remind you of that. Face it.
And frankly, that makes me upset with myself.
Yeah. They don't own advice podcasts.
No.
Either. Like,
yeah. And just because they got there presumably years and years before us.
And we somehow missed it and didn't do the research. But it's like a whatever kind of thing.
Yeah. We're chill and we hope that the people that in spirit we're copying are chill also.
Yeah. And we encourage you, the listeners, to be equally as chill.
Yeah, or even a little bit
more chill.
Yeah, aggressive on our behalf.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
And until next time, thank you, Mark, my lovely host.
Thank you, Jackie, my lovely co-host and friend. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
And thank you, the listener.
And thanks.
Be well.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.